Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got a lengthy and a great interview with Hayward area fishing guide Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports features Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boats. Hit the water, ready to fish in a 2017 Super Guide V16 SC with a 40 horse Mercury 4-stroke and trailer for just $15,295 or $203 a month. It also comes equipped with a Minn Kota Power Drive trolling motor, a Lowrance Hook 3X color fish finder, and Tracker's Promise 5-year bow to stern warranty. Plus, Tracker's no hassle, no haggle national pricing assures you a fair deal. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop in for their great lunch menu, and you can enjoy your lunch right out on their deck. Lynn's also has fresh cut-to-order steaks, as well as a great selection of brats and sausages for those great summer cookouts. Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, jerky, cheese curds, and much, much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
It's the pre-summer savings bash at Timber Ford of Hayward. Hi, I'm Amy Belke, and I invite you to check out our overwhelming selection of pre-owned vehicles, all priced to sell, like our 2008 Cadillac Escalade for only $285 a month, or our 2012 Toyota 4Runner with a low monthly payment of $395. Check out our 2013 Ford Fusion, priced at $14,973. That's a payment of less than $300 a month. Timber Ford of Hayward, it's commitment-driven and community-focused. You're going to love how we do business.
We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle, and help co-host today is Bob Schuster. And good morning, Bob.
Morning, John.
You know, a lot of guys have been waiting for this, but the musky season is open.
Yep, it is. And with a little bit of a warm-up, it could potentially, I've got to believe they're hungry, John.
They're hungry, you know, and we caught a smallmouth bass last week, a 21-incher that had teeth marks all over it. You know, that was a hungry musky.
Yeah, and our first outing to Sisbagma, my bass partner from Team Jig and Swig, caught a 37 1/4-inch musky.
Wow.
And he put her on the scale, it was 13.4 pounds. So
we started putting the weight on already.
Yep.
How about other fishing? You know, with them, all them fronts, we had this big major cold front come through here a week and a half ago, but that thing was a monster front.
Yeah, and rain and wind, so it kind of messed up the water temps, but surprisingly, I'm hearing from a number of anglers that the panfish bite is still pretty decent. They're catching some walleyes, they're catching pike, they're catching bass, so...
Yeah, you know, and that's what I saw, too. I was out there all of the days of that thing, and it just been what species you were after, and some lakes were better than others. But you mentioned the panfish. The one thing I've noticed this year, though, up till now, I mean, it's been the panfish. If you go into a bay, you have six bays that might have panfish on a normal year. One of them's got panfish in it now. It's just different.
And I think, John, because of the temperatures up and down, those fish were in and out of some of those bays, and I think they might have moved back and then maybe headed to warmer water, because it seemed like, I know for bass, the only bass outing and the only fishing trip I've been on was for that league night, and we found the warmer water produced active fish.
Yeah, and I think some fish got into spawn, some moved out. Things like the walleyes and muskies and pike, they all early, it was nice and warm early, they all did their thing, but then when we got the time for the panfish and the bass to spawn, fluctuations in water temperatures is probably going to make it a drawn-out spawning thing, because you'll have one bunch will come in and then another bunch and another. So I suspect we're going to see good fishing all the way up into June here.
I agree, John.
You know, well, Bob, you know, as far as the reports, yeah, what's up about the walleye fishing? What have you heard on the walleyes? I know we were fishing a guide party here, and Stevie Jensen came in with a whole slew of walleyes. We had three guys in the boat, so
he was doing good. So some lakes have been really good.
It has been, John. I know the flowage has produced a number of walleyes. I know the Treelands Walleye Challenge, they had a pretty good fish catch there. And talking to a couple of anglers and said that they had done very well out there. A number of smaller fish, which is good for the future. And then like Lost Land Teal, Smaction on Sis, actually some pretty good walleye catches on Nelson.
You know, and pike fishing has been good. And it surprised me with the trolling bite has been good. I think that's almost been better, an artificial lure bite on everything, even walleyes.
Yep, for sure.
You know, guys are trolling. I think I've heard of guys catching a lot of walleyes on swim baits and on crank baits and everything else.
Yeah, and as you know, trolling, it's a great way to locate fish.
Yeah, and even casting them, too, they've been getting them. So I know the shop here, you guys are all prepared for everything. I've got a huge musky bait selection here for you guys.
Yeah, we do. I cut Steve Jensen loose, and he's done a fantastic job.
You know, and a lot of new stuff, too, that you didn't have before because you just didn't have room for it.
Absolutely. So it's a little more spread out, a little more relaxed shopping conditions because there's some more room to the shop now.
More room, and we're sitting back in an archery department, a hunting part of it that's actually pretty well equipped, too.
Yes, it is. And as you look around, there's a number of boxes that are still filled with gear. So we don't have it 100% completely set, but it's put together pretty good.
And for the guys that don't remember or don't know it, you've got docks and lifts here, too.
Yes, we do, John.
Well, Bob, you know, we're going to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. Come back. I've got a long interview with fishing guide Tim Duffy talking about, getting out and fishing and some tips there. So we're going to take a break right now and hear from our sponsors. And we'll be back with the first part of that interview right after these messages.
Get ready for fishing this year at Hayward Bait and Bottle. They have a huge selection of lures, rods, reels, tackle, boating supplies, live bait, and much more. In the bottle shop, they also have a huge selection of beer, wine, and liquor. And if you're looking for that new dock or boat lift for your lakefront this year, stop in at Hayward Bait and Bottle and check out the quality ShoreMaster lineup. For over 40 years, ShoreMaster has covered the waterfront with world-class docks designed to help people enjoy their waterfront experience to the fullest. Get more dock for your dollar with ShoreMaster at Hayward Bait and Bottle in Hayward.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Bob Schuster. And you know, Tim Duffy, I had him on the show a lot, and he does his own radio show thing, but Tim is a very good angler, and he does it with very basic equipment sometimes.
Yeah, he does, John. He doesn't have the latest and greatest necessarily in all the electronics, but he is he's well-seasoned to the area lakes and has, I don't know for sure, but he's been guiding, I think, since
Yeah, a number of years. He's been out there a number of years. I mean, at least 30 some years. So
he's got a lot of time on the water, and is a pretty good stick.
Well, let's hear what he had to say the first part of this interview about getting out and catching more fish.
Today we're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. And Tim, you know, this spring is a good example. The weather's changing lately. It's been changing constantly. Some major fronts coming through. And that seems to affect the fishing quite a bit, it seems like.
It definitely does. And talking to the other guides and other fishermen in the area, you're seeing from day to day, you know, one second they get the fish here, the next second they get them there. Sometimes they're deeper, sometimes they're over the weeds. Sometimes they're not even in the same spot and they're not biting. So even the species of what you get from day to day, end of the day, you got to be, if you want to get the people fish, you got to kind of adapt. So if they're not that particular and they don't care if they get northerns, crappies, bass, walleye, it's kind of easier to go that route than to just target one species.
Well, even if you're after one species, a particular species of fish, I mean, I think Al Linder once said, there's no such thing as the fish ain't biting. They're biting for somebody. You got to figure out what it is. And sometimes you just don't have enough hours in a day to try to figure out what a pattern is, or, you know, like the crappies. We found the crappies, in some of the lakes now, they'd be in a whole bunch of different spots on a normal year, and now you find them in one or two spots. You got to find them spots, you know, kind of keep looking and moving. The whole key to it, Tim, is to try to be more versatile and look and look for places and different techniques. I mean, a lot of people don't want to troll, but sometimes trolling is a very good option.
It is a very good option. There's so many different ways to do it. You can fish deep water with a downrigger, you can use snap weights, but like this time of year, they're kind of in the shallower water. Guys will use planer boards and things like that. This trolling we talked about before is very simple and probably the most productive right now. A short cast with the right bait behind the boat and knowing what the depth that bait goes to is very key. And as I said before, people want to go out farther because they think that it's going to be better, but that changes the depth of the bait. And so a lot of times I know what the baits go, the depth and the colors. And so what I do is to keep them in the right area is I make a little mark with a magic marker on their line so they know where to go. Otherwise it's like poke and hope. They're, you know, they could be 20 right. feet out. And then even maneuvering and making turns, if somebody's at the wrong distance out, you get tangled up. If they're all where they should be, we can turn on a dime and get back over those fish again.
Well, you know, you're talking about short line trolling, but, you know, it's as simple as putting a magic marker and marks on a line, but you can buy a line now that's coated every 10 feet or 10 yards. You got line counter reels. There's a lot of things, different ways you can approach it, too.
I know that, but here's the thing. We can use that, but a lot of the people, they haven't fished a lot, so they miss a segment of the different colored line for the distance. Or the line counter reels, yeah, they're expensive. And there's high-end ones and low-end ones. There's little gadgets you can put on your pole that'll count the line. But you got to flip a little switch and this and that. But the marker is easy. You know, I my arm length, I go 5, 10, whatever, mark it, it's good to go.
You know, in times of the year, like in the spring, like right now, that's when the easiest going to be is because you're not running, say, looking at trolling at 18 or 22 feet or a specific depth, because most of the time you're running shallow running baits that run in the top 3 or 4 feet of water, and you know, you don't need to have a whole lot of technical experience to get those baits behind the boat that way.
No, but you do have to know what depth your bait runs at. Like, let's say like this, like a small shad wrap to a big shad wrap, a fat wrap, you know, Rappler makes a lot of lures, or the stick bait. They all go different depths. And here's the other thing, we'll be trolling and I'm watching people and I snap my bait, you know, snap it, twitch it. But the biggest thing is I'll watch the guys and somebody's getting bites and the other one isn't. Where they hold their pole. I usually hold mine straight out the gunnel, out the side. If somebody's holding it up too high, well, it's going to go, whatever the distance, it's going to go that much higher. Right. If you hold it down low, it's going to go that much lower. So every part of it, even being simple, every part of it is very important to even like where you hold your pole.
I know, you know, speed is important too, how fast you're trolling. I know you go by what you feel the bait doing. On the other hand, when I, if my boat, I've got the GPS, gives me exact speed and tells me what the speed is, and I can duplicate that speed time and time again. And most people do have a GPS now. A lot of fishermen do.
Yeah, definitely. Here's another very important thing that people don't realize. The diameter of your line makes a huge difference. If it's thinner or bigger, the thinner line will dive deeper. The heavier line, thicker diameter, will come higher. So all those things come into play.
You bet, you know, and there's a lot of different things. And you can take a high-tech approach, like basically like I do, and you can take a low-tech approach, but knowledge is the key. I mean, you should always be learning, I think, when you're out there in the water and trying to learn new things and different things.
And very true. Another thing that, you know, the elaborate trolling with all the devices and whether you don't even hold the pole, that's one way. But there's something about this trolling we're doing right now in the shallower water and holding the pole. First of all, the people like to do it. But second of all, that little snap, that little twitch, you know, just the lure's out there, you're just snapping it. And what that does is it gives the bait a real quick stop and start. And between the guys doing that and not doing that, will be the difference between catching a fish and not, especially on the hard days. And I'm talking walleyes, I'm talking everything. They love that snap, stop and start. And it'll trigger them into hitting the bait, even when they're finicky.
You don't do that when you're trolling the deep water, though, do you?
Well, depending on, like, you can get some baits to go down, you know, maybe 18, 20 feet. I know the man's got some really good baits that'll dive down, the 20 plus, the 30 plus. Those baits, they do go. Then there's other baits, too, that like the deep running long A bomber. Some of those baits don't do well snapping them because it throws them off, and then they lose track, and they'll come up on their sides. And you know, so some, you have to be familiar with your baits and know what you can do with them.
Yeah, you know, and there, besides the trolling aspect, you know, you've got, you know, one place you're going to find fish a lot of the time through early part of the year especially is weeds. And it depends on what fish you're after. A lot of the fish, some of the fish will stay in the weeds all year long. And dealing with weeds, a lot of people have trouble dealing with weeds.
Yeah, you know, I go back to this. That brush hog jig, the slowpoke jig, those weedless jigs, are very good. I've had bass guys that are used to fishing structure, and I take them out walleye fishing, and I'll put that jig with a plastic or with a minnow or whatever. We throw it out in the weeds, and they go, I can't believe we don't have one weed on this jig. That's how weed this is. The other thing is this, you can, from buying the jig in the store, you have to kind of fine-tune them if you want them to work properly. Otherwise, they'll be weedless, but there's too much plastic there, or too much of the guard that will kind of affect the bite when the fish hits it, and you miss a lot of them that way.
Well, sometimes you can get away too without a weedless jig if you just go to a 16th or an 8th ounce jig and you snap it through the weeds and fine wire hooks and stuff. But the thing is that you're looking for weeds. What type of weeds are you going to be looking for mostly?
Well, tall cabbage is always great because it gives them a little more room to hide in, and they can, even when they're rising and dropping in the water column for the warm water. Here's another thing people don't realize. Those weedless jigs, let's say, take the weeds out of the picture. Let's say you're fishing timber and fish cribs. Well, you can jig with a weedless jig and get through them, but let's say the fish are suspended. So put a slip bobber, and you know how much it takes to set that thing up. Put a regular jig on there or whatever, and you get hung up, and you got to retie the whole mess. Put a weedless jig on there, and it'll pull the bobber, you set the depth, and it'll pull that weedless jig right over the top of the cribs, and you don't get hung up. So they don't just work by casting. You can put those on a slip bobber, and they're dynamite. Eat weeds, whatever.
I know when it comes to fishing, things like weeds, if you can find weeds in good green milfoil, there's usually going to be walleyes and other fish in that.
They say, you know, milfoil, they don't want it on the water because it grows fast, but here, for the fish, they love it. It's a canopy that actually sometimes punching a bait even through that is hard to do. And then once you get a fish on there, getting them out of there, you'll find little pods of it out in the deep, like on the flow edge has little pods, you know, where you can find that stuff. It's like a fish crib. And a lot of times it butts up to deep water.
Well, it's an interesting interview. We're going to have to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We'll come back with the second part of that interview.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Bob Schuster. And Bob, you know, we're going to jump right into that other part of the interview, and then we'll do a wrap-up on the show.
It's just locating a fish. The biggest thing is, I guess, is you can't catch fish where they're not. So you're always going to, and I see a lot of people out there that are fishing where they're basically not going to catch fish because they're in the wrong place.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this. You know, the two times people like to fish, early morning and late afternoon, especially for the walleyes. And one of the reasons is because the fish are accessible and they're moving up out of the deeper water onto sandbars. And people like to fish that. There's no snags, there's no, you know, rock piles, stuff like that. And remember how much night fishing I used to do? All the time. And it was hard to get people to stay out that late. The fishing was always good. But so now with these weedless jigs, I go at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a bright, sunny, blue sky day, but we're fishing down in the weeds or down in around the bog in the structure or in the stumps, like down at the base. That's where they are in the daytime. It's dark down there. It's cooler down there, and you got to pull them out of there, you know. And if you don't have the right setup, it's a pain in the butt because you're going to be losing a lot of jigs. And if you're a guide, you're going to be doing a lot of tying. So you got to figure that out. And I got it down pat pretty good as far as getting into that timber and getting those things out of there.
Well, that comes down to a strike window. I mean, a fish is going to, depend on the activity level, it's going to travel X number of distance to go to something, to bite on something. And the less active they are, the closer you have to drop it right to their nose almost to get them to hit. And during the day, a lot of times on a bright sunny day, they're holding tight to cover. You've got to pretty much hit them right on the head to get them. And, you know, that's a lot of water down there to be putting a bait in front of them. So you got to be kind of pay attention to where you're casting.
Yeah, and you know, even jigging, I mean, it's probably one of the kind of harder parts of, you got to know how to feel. But I'll get guys, I'm always kind of pumping my rod, so I'm kind of like swimming it kind of through the weeds. And then you'll get, like, some people just drag it. Well, dragging it doesn't work. You know, you want to kind of swim that, and you're feeling the jig go over the tops of the weeds, and if you get hung a little bit, snapping that off. I don't know how many times I've snapped a jig off a weed, and as soon as that happens, the fish jumps on it because instinctively it's like something's trying to get away, and they'll hammer that thing. But you got to kind of feel and work that jig, not just throw it out there and pull it along and think that the fish are going to jump on there. You got to have feel, to, you know, with a lot of that type of fishing.
I know you've been guiding for how many years? You've been guiding, Tim?
I started when I was 26, and I'm 58 now, so a while. But I fished my whole life up here in Hayward, and yeah.
You know, and there's quite a few guides around the area. I mean, quite often I just got done working a guide party. There was me and Chuck Roll and Steve Jensen, Daryl Neibauer, Bill Shumway. There was a bunch of us working that. You know, you got a lot of different guides up here that work. They're very good guides. And the big thing I'm going to tell people is that, you know, when I started guiding, the old timers told me that the guide wasn't supposed to be the teacher. He was supposed to be the guy that took people out and caught fish, and maybe they'd come back the next year and hire you because they didn't know where they caught the fish yet. That's not the way I operated, and that's not the way I think a lot of the guides operate nowadays. They try to teach people and try to show them as much as they can.
Well, and you know, in the old days, the guide here, a lot of them didn't have boat. I talked to this Frank Moore, and he talks about the guide rode the boat. He didn't even have a fishing pole, unless the client asked him if he wanted to fish. I know this. I'm not going to rely on these newcomers to catch the fish. Sometimes I have to be doing it to show them, and they actually watch what you're doing. And then when I hook the fish, I give it to them anyhow. But if they're not doing it right, they're not going to catch them. So I'm kind of working the waters. If we're throwing lures or whatever, I'm changing colors. If we're musky fishing, I'm changing baits. I'm trying to get us to the bite faster. While they're fishing, I'm still working to try to figure out the best way to catch the fish.
And you're trying to teach people. That's one thing I tell people. It says that no matter what you catch on a day, if you didn't learn something when you're on the water, it wasn't worth going out with a guide, because it should be learning, and we're always learning through life, and I think fishing is just another aspect of that. You want to enjoy the sport, try to learn as much as you can, and thankfully, nowadays, with the internet and computers, there is so much information out there. You can learn a lot about fishing and just sitting home in the evenings if you want to.
Well, you can look on the internet and read books and magazines, and you can learn from that. But there's nothing like hands-on experience. Because
yeah.
We talk about cleaning Northerns.
That's the next level.
We were talking about cleaning Northerns. I looked at diagram after diagram, and so we were talking about how we do it. It's like I came up with my own system. It helped to look at that stuff. But don't think you're going to look at it and then go out there and do it. There's something about hands-on and actually going out and doing it. And I'm kind of the hands-on guy. I want to do it in person to know that it's going to work and I know how to do it. So, yeah. And there's a ton of stuff out there. But here, at the end of the day, I don't ever think that I know everything about fishing. And I'm constantly learning. I'll find new spots. I'll find new this. I'm always trying to even make my own stuff, paint my own baits, things like that. Some of it works. Some of it doesn't. If there was nothing else to learn out there, I don't think I'd want to be a guide, because it wouldn't be any fun. I like the challenge.
You bet. Well, Tim, we're about out of time for this interview on the show. I want you to give out some guide information for people interested in getting a guide.
Yeah, people can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
And there's also plenty of information about my guide service and Tim's and everybody else's guide service at Hayward Bait and Bottle. They got plenty of cards there, too. So, but anyway, I want to thank you for coming on here.
Thanks, John. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you know, there was a lot of interesting things in there talking about trolling and fish location and everything else. And you pay attention to what the guy says, because he's been out there a lot of years. Some boating tips I want to give people. You know, one thing I picked up on the other day, and I never thought about myself, although I do it, but guys with all the electronics and stuff in the boats, carry spare fuses in your boat.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And in some cases, probably not a bad idea to have some type of charger because some of this electronics it'll draw some juice.
You bet. I mean, I have onboard chargers on my boat, but I have plug-in chargers for my remotes for my, like, iPilot and stuff like that, to plug it in and charge it, because, you know, otherwise in the middle of the day that battery goes dead.
For sure.
Well, you know, the one last thing as we wrap up here, I want to talk about may have a wolf season coming up. It looks like that there's an appeal going through the appeals court right now, and it's being fought by the Humane Society of the U.S., but in some of the, you know, people that want to protect the wolves. But if it gets passed, all the states, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, are ready to implement, if they think, or go ahead with implementing wolf management.
Yeah, and I think, John, that whatever a herd is needs to be controlled, and if we let them go too wild, they're going to have a rather large problem.
Yeah, no deer.
That would be one.
That would be one. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming in here.
Thank you, John.
And folks, remember that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website. We podcast the shows. Every Sunday show is podcast on our website at wnoradio.net. And we air that show on Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock on WHSM.
AM and the new Cabin FM, and then we aired at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings on WHSM 101. So a lot of opportunities to tune in, and again, if you miss it, you can get it on our website. We're out of time for this week, and we'll thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.